Obviously, the readings today are teaching us how to live the Christian life. The first one is about repentance, and the second is about forgiveness. And of course, as the Lord points out, there's an intimate connection. If we're not forgiving, we're not going to be forgiven. But if we look at this repentance closely, I think we can learn something important, which is not frequently remarked upon. This repentance is for the whole people. Not just forgive me, forgive us. Lord, great and awesome God, you who keep your merciful covenant toward those who love you and obey your commandments. We have sinned, been wicked and done evil. We have rebelled and departed from your commandments and your laws. We have not obeyed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. How many prophets have we had? Just take to care for the poor. Mother Teresa. How many prophets have we had to teach us the need for prayer? Blessed John Paul II. Who taught us also the true meaning of sexuality. We haven't listened to your prophets. We haven't listened. Oh, I did. Maybe. But I doubt it. We. That sense. And goes along with that a sense of shame. Now, you know, we're getting clobbered right now as a Catholic Church. Because by the mercy of God, we're the huge, biggest obstacle to the takeover of darkness. But one of the things we're supposed to do during Lent is repent for all the ways. How did we get in this mess? By not being faithful to God and his prophets. We were tricked, you know. One of the big tricks, and the one that we're paying for now a lot, is social action. We either did nothing, or we imitated the Marxists. When Vatican II ended, I was living up in Canada at Madonna House, which has always been a place, not much anymore, but the old days, the people would go in the summer and work with the migrant workers just to preach the gospel, just to be with them. But the guys who came up were tinged with anger. If I want to help the poor, you see, I have to help them because their poverty bothers them, not because it bothers me. And that's a big, big difference. Most of Saul Alinsky's stuff is based on their suffering bothers me. No, that's Christ's suffering. But it wasn't only that. It was so many other things. Materialism and so forth. And so, we have to repent. In a we, also an I, but a we. The next line of this text is a famous text, famous expression. Sudakalakha, other night. I've explained this before. Justice is on your side. When there's an altercation, many times, this is still done in the East. You go before a judge or a wise man and you say, you stole my cow. I never took your lousy cow. And this goes back and forth until the judge says, Sedekalecha, justice is on your side. Or sometimes, just arguing between the two. Do you remember when Saul was out chasing David to kill him? And David twice had a chance to kill Saul, and he didn't take it, remember? Because that's the king. Now, when Saul realized what happened, poor fellow, first, what did he say? Sedekah lecha beni David. Righteousness, justice is on your side, my son David. Didn't stop him from trying to kill him again. But it's an acknowledgement. So, justice is, O Lord, is on your side. That's what we say in the Miserere, too, remember? How's it going in English? Have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness. In your mercy, blot out my sins, all my offenses. Truly my sins, I know them, and I acknowledge them. I acknowledge them. See, then righteousness is on your side, which is the next line. Lord God, if there's anything wrong in the relationship between you and me, it's my fault, not yours. See, that's basic to repentance. It's not just I'm sorry because I'm scared, which isn't bad. But I'm sorry because I have offended you. You have never offended me. You see? But you see how it's done here? We. How can we be thinking we're righteous when we're in such a mess as a church? And how many of these good clerics were singing along with Mitch? They were going to Saul Alinsky's school. I remember one young Jesuit was up visiting us, and he had sent by his superiors. He was at that Alinsky school. So I said to him, what did you think of it? And he said, demonic. Bright little fella. But you see, we have sinned. I can't say, look at those stupid superiors, look what they did. They are stupid and they shouldn't have done that. But there's more than that. What about me? We have sinned. What a lesson, isn't it? This is repentance. I hope you get it. Yours, O God, are compassion and forgiveness. Yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command, O Lord our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets, and the prophet, Jesus. And that's what we have in the gospel, the other side of it. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's the norm. That's a pretty high norm, right? But of course, we rely on that norm. Oh God, Father, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, no matter what. We rely on that norm. But we have to practice that norm. That's the other side. Huh? And so when we look at, well, what are we supposed to be doing during Lent? We're supposed to be repenting for our sins, including my own, but I belong to a sinful church. And I'm asking God to have mercy on the whole church, not just me. On the other side, forgive. If I want forgiveness for me and for the church, I better give it. And that means, as it says in 1 Timothy, I think, when you come together, let there be prayers for all kings and rulers and all those who are, and so forth. Now that was written probably between the years 54 and 57, that letter to Timothy. Do you know who was ruling the empire when he was asking for prayers? Nero, one of the great persecutors of the church. And he's telling everybody, pray for the, understand? We just can't afford to do anything less.